Each failure is a step closer to success. You're listening to episode 18 of Learn With Us. I'm Nikos, and I'm with a special guest today, my fellow Greek friend called Stylianos Kampakis. How are you doing today, sir?
Hi, I'm great. I'm glad to be here, Nikos.
Are you enjoying the weather in London?
Well, it could be a bit better, to be honest, but I don't really mind, you know? I have so much work to do anyway that I didn't really have the time to look outside anyway.
Yeah. What do you think about the food here?
Well, I think it's okay, you know. I believe you can find good food anywhere as long as you look for it. I'm not a person, you know, who thinks too much about these kind of things, you know?
Okay. But you do get to Greece quite a lot, so more than me. So you do get to...
That's true, yeah. Not only Greece, I mean, I travel quite a lot. I was like recently in Tel Aviv for work. Before that, I was in Washington and Pittsburgh. Before that, I was in Cyprus. So, you know, all over the place. All over the globe, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a real globetrotter here. So Stylianos, he is a data scientist, and he's quite a well-known data scientist in London anyway. He's a member of the Royal Statistical Society, and he's done a PhD, really interesting PhD. Do you want to share what you've done for your PhD?
So I've done quite a few things regarding my PhD. I worked with Tottenham Hotspur. It was about using machine learning to predict football injuries.
That's amazing. It really is such a cool project.
I'm like glad that. You like it.
Is it like Moneyball or something like that, but except it's for injuries, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, Moneyball was actually one of the inspirations behind this project, because it was basically the first case where people realized they can use analytics in order to get an edge in sports. But the work I did also had a lot to do with medical statistics and sports science.
Okay, so is it machine learning stuff?
There was also a bit of statistics in there. You know, whereas Moneyball was mainly around player selection. This is what the main concept was about. Whereas in my case, in my PhD, I researched how you can use training data and medical data to predict injuries, so you can prevent them before they take place. It was a very difficult problem, but I feel we improved the state of the art quite a lot.
Yeah, that's really quite out there, you know. That's some really exciting stuff. So my audience is pretty much mostly web developers, like JavaScript developers, JavaScript, you know, HTML, CSS. So a lot of us are like, we like the idea of machine learning data science, where it's like, it seems like quite a big jump for us to get to that point, to be able to use it in our jobs. So I was wondering if you could help us. How, if you want someone like me wanted to get more into data scientist, how would I transition from regular programming JavaScript to data science?
So I think the best advice I can give to a developer who wants to convert to data science is to maybe start participating in some Kaggle competitions. And the reason I'm saying that is that in data science, there's a lot of theory behind it, behind machine learning, behind statistics, and it takes years to master that. But it's not very difficult to just download some libraries and start learning how to use some tools. Things such as scikit-learn in Python, or maybe learn how to use R. Obviously, you can never really master the field if you don't understand all the details behind the algorithms. But for quite a few problems, you don't need to go that deep. And Kaggle, I think, is a very good way to start. At least in my experience, I've seen many, many people taking that leap and starting off Kaggle and actually being successful.
How do I spell that?
Kaggle, K-A-G-G-L-E. It's a machine learning competition website. It was actually the first of its kind.
Okay. Oh, I'll put a link to that in the show notes then. Okay. So, when you were at university, what did you study?
Oof, I have a very diverse background, yeah. So I have two bachelor's degrees, two masters, a PhD and a diploma. I have one bachelor's in cognitive psychology and one in statistics. Both of my masters are in AI, and the diploma is in economics and econometrics. I have a very heavy academic background, you know. I still have one foot in academia. I teach statistics as a visiting lecturer in Cyprus. I'm also an honorary research fellow at the University College London. And I'm going to start a project soon with Innopolis University in Russia.
Cool. So I was at a conference and I was speaking there, and it was kind of Stelianos that invited me to that conference. And we were speaking on... data visualization, wasn't it? We were on a panel, yes. And it was like there was like three Greeks and the rest were non-Greeks.
Yeah, that was quite quite unusual, actually. I don't know how this happened, you know.
Yeah, the host was Greek, and there was two of us were on the panel, and there was like three other people, you know.
Yeah, it was an interesting panel. You know, I'm still talking to one of the guys from that panel. I actually quite like the audience. I remember they made a few quite interesting questions.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. It was like we were like talking about these really futuristic sort of things, and we were like, predict the future, guys, you know, like, well, passing the mic around.
Yeah, and the augmented reality and stuff. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So what made you decide to specialize in data science?
So to be honest with you, I wanted to become an academic researcher in AI. And this happened around the same time when data science started becoming a thing. So it started to be used more and more as a word to encapsulate what used to be different fields in the past. I mean, statistics, Bayesian statistics, machine learning, neural networks, data mining, you know, all this stuff. And at some point along the way, I realized that more and more industries are adopting data science, and I found it more interesting to be in the industry rather than in academia, because I felt this probably has a higher impact. So I still participate in the academia to a small extent, as I mentioned. But for me, you know, it was a natural transition. Now, if you ask me how I decided to study AI, like, I just always liked the subject, you know. I just can't describe it. I just think that anything related to intelligence and cognitive psychology and AI and data, it's just really super interesting.
So how long ago did you start learning this stuff?
So let me think. I mean, so I finished my degree in cognitive psychology around 2011. So I guess it's been like 7 years now. I started studying the subject, then I started taking up small projects, some toy projects I was doing on my own, then, a few freelance gigs, then I carried on from there, moved from Greece to Edinburgh, then came to London, and, all the time becoming more and more active, basically. I'd say it's 7 years.
So, like, 7 years ago, it wasn't really that well-known a field, wasn't it? So it was probably quite a risk to, like, spend a lot of time learning it, but obviously it's paid off now, I guess.
Yeah, so basically the elements were there, you know. So I think data science is a term. It's like a new thing, in a sense, but everything was there. It's just that you have people from different backgrounds, from different, with different philosophies and different tools trying to do the same thing, you know. So... But it's not called machine learning. In the 80s, it was just called neural networks, you know. Then there was also data mining. I mean, it's still around, where it's basically data mining is the philosophy of trying to use pattern recognition algorithms to extract insights from databases. It's, you see very similar stuff to, you know, what you see in machine learning. It's just a different context. And the reasons are mainly historical. So there are different, you know, universities, different departments, different corporations trying to solve very similar problems. But it was only until recently, with the explosion of big data and everything, where people somehow tried to make an effort to integrate everything together. And I think part of this is marketing. You know, it's just easier to say I'm a data scientist rather than saying, oh, you know, I did a degree in computer science and then I specialized in this kind of algorithms, blah, blah, blah. And actually, this has also helped the field. You know, it has made people more open-minded. So it's not uncommon now to see people who know machine learning, but then maybe know a bit of statistics as well. I feel now data science, the use of this term has broken down silos. And this is how I feel about data science as well, right? I mean, I have a degree in statistics, but my master's was in AI, my PhD was mostly in machine learning. I'm mainly results oriented, you know. So I feel the mentality is changing.
Cool. So what are your favorite parts of data science, machine learning?
So I really like the part where you have to explore how to solve the problem, you know, because when you first approach a problem, you know nothing about it. I'm not just talking about the data, I'm talking about the domain itself, you know. So maybe you have to try to understand the problem from your client's perspective, and because quite often what they want you to do is not what they need. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's a very common, you know, it's a very common problem. So I really like these first steps to understand what the problem looks like, which algorithms are the best ones, etc. What I don't like is the boring stuff, like data cleaning. You know, there's nothing I hate more than, you know, having to spend a week trying to clean up data and, you know, corrupt entries and the like. It's a part of the job. I mean, but, you know, I just don't think it requires, it takes up too much time, but so, it doesn't take too much, like, mental effort, you know. It's not interesting.
So the kind of data you want to get to into a sort of image format, is that your, like, a numerical format? So, you want to look like...
Yeah, I was going to say it really depends, you know. So there are different kinds of data. Maybe you work with text data. Maybe you work with, you know, just numerical data. Maybe it's a mix of numerical and categorical variables. That's fine, right? It's just that in the end of the day, you need to organize your data, something that looks like a table, you know?
Yeah.
And along that way, there are many problems that can take place. So sometimes you see lots of missing values. Categorical variables, you might see categories which don't make sense, you know? Usually it's problems in data entry and variable definition. So it's these things just, you know, they're just always there. You know, they're pretty much domain specific. So it's difficult to, you know, to provide a set of guidelines and say, you know, these are the 10 problems that happen in every domain, and that's it.
Yeah. So the kind of solutions that a client would want, would it be something like provide a categorization algorithm for some domain?
Look, you can create this kind of solution for verticals, yeah. So you can do this for particular domains. I've seen some tools, I think, which try to do this kind of things, but I've really not worked with them. Maybe because my work is across so many different domains, where it's, you know, I just never really could, you know, I never really found a tool which applies on everything, I guess.
Yeah. Can you share an example of a simple... like non-confidential machine learning task you did for a project and how you went about it from start to finish, if you can.
Let me think. Well, I can talk to you about my PhD, which is not confidential because you know, it's public access. So that's actually an interesting example of what I mentioned earlier, that what a client might want might not be what they need. Because initially the effort was around how to use machine learning and more advanced analytical methods in order to help the medical team. And this was a very open-ended question, you know, because help them in what? You know, we have players that might suffer from overtraining. Exactly. Yeah, it's very open-ended. Injuries, different kinds of injuries, etc. So it was basically a long process to try and nail down the kind of problem which could be answered using the data they had, because also the data was not very well organized, you know, so which created additional complications, because even if the data was perfectly organized, there are still some problems which you can't solve in football, for example, extrinsic injuries taking place because of, you know, tackles and the like. You know, you can't predict that, you know, but you can predict, for example, injuries due to overtraining, what's it called, basically intrinsic injuries. So we focused on that, we did lots of work. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what kind of patterns were you trying to get your machine learning to train on and then predict?
What kind of patterns, you said?
Yeah, what kind of patterns were you training your machine learning on? Like, what kind of data for injuries?
So it depends. I did quite a few different things. But to give you an example, there was I actually published a paper on that. They were using, for their players, during training, they were using some GPS units, which recorded over 100 variables around the players. Like things, how many sprints they did, acceleration, deceleration, all these kind of variables, you know. It was pretty cool. And I used the method in order to get, basically to aggregate all the statistics on a weekly basis and try to extract from these statistics patterns of overtraining, which could be indications or indicators of an upcoming injury. You know, okay. So I think that's actually a pretty good example of using domain knowledge and intuition along with a method. So many times people think that machine learning, etc., is all about black box models, and you just throw some data in a machine and it comes back with answers in a magical fashion. But you know, but in my experience, that's not always the case.
Yeah, not yet. Anyway.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah, who knows? Maybe in the future it might be.
I mean, I'm so tempted to just like give up web development and just jump into this field, man. It's so amazing. It's so cool. And I mean, I'm just spending hours reading about what machine learning can do. And it's quite a jump. I mean, like, I was at a meetup last night on JavaScript, and I was like talking to some of the React developer, and I'm like, what do you think of like learning, getting into machine learning and stuff? And they're like, oh, we just look at the stuff on Wikipedia and we can't understand it. We'll just stick with JavaScript, you know?
Yeah, I understand. Well, if you're interested in learning about machine learning, I told you I'm working on a workshop for non-technical people, executives and managers, and I'm also working on a workshop for developers. So, you know, this would be great.
This is going to be the hottest workshops in London for people that want to quit JavaScript or just learn machine learning. Yeah,
so. Yeah, hopefully.
Where can people find out about your events? And do you have a web page or something?
So actually, if you Google my name or just my surname, Kampakis, Kampakis, you're going to find my blog, skampakis.com. Or you can just search me on LinkedIn. I mean, I'm very open. I always respond to emails or people.
I'll put your links onto my podcast. We have quite a lot of people from Japan listen to this. So hi to everyone in Japan. I'm sure Kampakis will take a first class ticket to Japan at some point.
This would be amazing. Like, Japan is a country that I was always fascinated about, and I never had the opportunity to visit. So, you know, if we could hold a workshop there, this would be amazing.
Yeah, the second highest listener count. First, most people that listen to this are from America. Second highest from Japan. And I think UK is like third or fourth or something.
That's surprising.
Probably don't like my English accent, my Scottish accent or something. I love the English because, like, you know, they look after me. I hope I had a professional career, you know.
Yeah, maybe your accent does the trick in Japan. Who knows?
Okay, so at what age is it too late to become a data scientist?
That's an interesting question. I think this is not so much data science specific as tech specific. So yeah. I think there's, like, if you're interested in tech, you need to like mental stimulation, and you need to also like to, you know, be in front of a computer and learn new things and think that, you know, this is really, really cool. And usually people know this when they're already pretty young, you know, when they're kids. And I think as you get older, as you get above 30 and then as you get above 40, you probably find it more and more difficult to learn new things. So I think the answer is the same as the answer that someone would give for software development, etc. I think it's difficult for people above 30 that they don't have any kind of technical background. You know, if someone is 40 years old and they've been, you know, in engineering their whole lives or physics or something, it's not a huge transition. You know, it's not going to be difficult. Right. But if, for example, you've majored in literature or something, and when you're 40 you decide to learn about data science, you basically find out that you have to understand about coding, and you also have to understand about maths and statistics and blah, blah, blah. So unless you're really gifted in those domains, it's probably unlikely you're gonna, you know, become good at them, you know, when you're 40 or 50 or something.
Yeah, I guess everything's easier in hindsight. And I guess if I was going to redo my education again, I would probably do my biophysics like I'd done, but I would probably have done a PhD in machine learning. But instead, I just wanted to come to London and make some cash doing JavaScript. And
everything's
easier in hindsight.
Yeah, well, in hindsight, you can always make the optimal choice, but still, JavaScript and front end is cool, right?
Yeah. Okay, so last question here. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
So in 5 years' time, I'd like to be, you know, maybe running my own consultancy and running different projects at the same time. You know, I really like to run things in parallel. Otherwise, I get a bit bored, to be honest. And
it's a bit like you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like you. So. You know how this works, you know, and the more you network, the more opportunities arrive at your doorstep. And I still basically want to do the same thing, just see everything getting bigger and better, you know, in a sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's cool. That's kind of like myself as well. So, it's been great to have you on the show, Stylianos, and I look forward to catching up with you again in London.
I was happy to be in this podcast, and we'll catch up with each other soon anyway.
Okay, folks, well, that's Stylianos Gambakis, my fellow Greek citizen there, and we're just telling you about data science and how it's like, if you want job security, then jump into data. that's it for today, folks, and remember to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter at LearnWithUsPod. And so we'll catch you soon. See you later.
See you. Bye-bye. Take care.